Hey, everybody, welcome to the Imagine Paradise podcast. I am so enjoying this conversation with you. So thanks for listening. If you've been listening to the last four episodes, we started having a conversation that I believe is probably the most paramount conversation that we can have. And of course, the first episode that started off this particular series of episodes was an episode called What is Spirituality and Why Does It Matter? I think that was the name of it. The intention of that episode was to, obviously, was to have fun, to make light of how serious we take spirituality at times, and how, and also how, like, sometimes we're turned off by spirituality, because in the woo-woo world of spirituality, you get the same hypocrites as you do in, like, the traditional religious world, to put it harshly, I suppose. But, you know, you got to laugh at it and sort of ask yourself, well, why am I interested in this topic? And really, honestly, what's drawing me here? And where am I going with this? Well, that started an episode two, a conversation, where, like, three episodes back, we began to say, like, well, okay, so let's talk about what enlightenment is, the first step of enlightenment. And I talked about how there were many spiritual teachers believe that the start of enlightenment, the start of our journey, our spiritual journey, begins with awareness, begins with beingness, begins with our ability to no longer be enslaved to the mind. To the mind, yes, that crazy monkey mind that continues to plague society and you and me all the time. And it is the art of finding those beautiful spaces, those gaps between thought, that sacred space, to where in that sacred space, we've talked about in last week's episode, how in that sacred space, if you can find your way of stilling the mind, of calming the mind, that literally there's a new consciousness that introduces itself. It injects itself into our day. The more that we cultivate that, the more that we find ourselves abiding in this stillness. So primarily the conversation for the last three episodes has been something I have referred to often, called identification with the mind. Matter of fact, Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now, which is the book that I'm reading right now, which is one of the reasons I'm going back to this book, is just overall I wanted to start doing podcasts based on my cornerstone books that changed my life. And the very first one that changed my life was this book. So going back and really looking at this and trying to articulate the concepts for you, that's where we are right now. And so I invite you to read that and pick up a copy of The Power of Now if you want. The book talks a lot about the identification with the mind being the greatest obstruction to enlightenment. So the thing is, I left last week thinking, well, like, are you guys, do we know what that even means? Honestly, like, the identification with the mind. Okay, that sounds great. But, you know, you talk to your girlfriend after you've recorded the podcast here, and here you had a long day at work, and she's mentally exhausted because she has to use her mind for 8 hours, problems solving, finding problem solution, conflict resolve for 8 hours of every day, every week. That's what you have to do at work, right? That's what I have to do with my work. So it's hard for us to nuance what is really meant when spiritual teachers talk about identification with the mind. But today, we're going to get clear on that. I'm going to get clear on that with you. And I think that I'm going to be able to articulate this in a way that demystifies this concept and brings it out of sounding like self-help literature and helps you pinpoint when you're acting crazy and when you're allowing the compulsive mind to use you, to control you, to enslave you. And we have to know when that is happening in order for us to become the observer of it and create space around it and eventually let it go. So there's a paragraph that I love that I placed on the Imagine Paradise podcast Instagram. If you're not following that, you can go to at Imagine Paradise podcast. This little paragraph is everything to me. Eckhart Tolle says, as it is, I would say about 80 to 90% of most people's thinking is not only repetitive and useless, but because of its dysfunctional and often negative nature, much of it is also harmful. Observe your mind and you will find this to be true. It causes a serious leakage of vital energy. How many times have you been at the end of your workday, at the end of a week, finding yourself so exhausted because this leakage of vital energy that you call your job has riddled you lifeless onto the couch for a 3 or 4 hour marathon of something you're half interested in on the couch? We all know what that's like, right? I do too. The majority of our thoughts are a leakage of vital energy, aren't necessary, are probably negative, and are categorized as compulsive thinking and not necessarily a strategic use of the mind, right? So that's what we want to talk about today. What is identification with the mind? Because what Eckhart Tolle is referring to, obviously, is the kind of compulsive thinking that is almost like an addiction. It no longer feels like you have a choice, right? It's often called the mind is using you there. So let's talk about what is identification with the mind. It is said that the identification with the mind is having a sense of self around the content of your thoughts, identifying so clearly with your thought life, so clearly with your thought processes, so clearly with... Yeah, none of that made sense to me either when I first read it. What are we talking about? Here it is. The identification with the mind, generally you can tell the difference between using our mind for whatever task may be in front of us, or wasting, having a leakage of vital energy by compulsive thinking, is to look at your thinking. You know, last episode, we really leaned into this concept of observing our thoughts, right? Of watching the thinker. Watching the thinker, I want you to notice how many thoughts have to do with ego, directly or indirectly. Ego, egoic identification, right? And one really amazing way to look at this is to zero in on how many times are you compulsively thinking about the past? And how much time are you spending compulsively thinking about the future? I have a really great example. I was doing a concert this past week in Columbus, Ohio, and it was a little bit. I was unorganized getting to the show, and I had a lot of past exchanges that I basically spent the entire weekend compulsively thinking about those past exchanges because the ego was interested in image managing, asking the questions, what does she think of me? What do they think of me? Are they judging me? Is this a weird competitive environment? What is this? What is this? What is this? Like constantly obsessed with the past. In addition, I noticed the compulsive thinking of the future. Now, you're going to relate to this in your job and other places. We got to strategize for the future. It's sort of like this survival instinct that we have as human beings to spend a lot of time, to spend that mental energy troubleshooting, looking in the future and figuring out the issue that we need to resolve and make sure that it doesn't take us by surprise and make sure that we have an answer for it. And we can come up with about 15 different potential scenarios. And we can also spend all that time having an A, B, and C plan for all 15 scenarios, right? And I was doing that too. Like, okay, so what if this ends up happening on stage? What if this happens? What if I can't do this? What if this? And just caught myself an hour before I am about to go on stage to share my gift, to share my joy, to forget about self, to forget about ego, and have fun and invite people into my world for the first time. And all I'm sitting there is feeling is the increased anxiety because of the compulsive thinking that was stuck in the past and was stuck in the future. And then I remembered what you and I are doing here in the last 4 weeks, the kind of conversation that we're having right now. And then I began to observe those thoughts. I began to watch the thinker. And I could see it, literally the momentum slowing down. And it was funny because when you start watching the thinker, it's sort of like sometimes like watching a mouse, waiting to see a mouse peep out of a hole. You're just there. You're just seeing it. And in that moment of watching, there's actually no thought. So you get this, and in this breath, this space of no thought, all of a sudden, it's almost like you can see the electrical wiring of your brain. You can see the circuits that have been pinging in a certain pattern. Slow down, slow down, slow down. And wow. For me, that's how I experience it. Especially when compulsive thinking has that degree of momentum. It only took a few minutes of me being fully committed to observing the thoughts, to become the watcher of the thoughts. And then as I watched them, humored by it, by the crazy, entertained completely by it, it slows down. And you begin to have that space. But I offer that example because I know in your work too, you deal with always having to troubleshoot the future. I'm sure that it is probably your responsibility to think about 15 different scenarios that have to happen in the future and have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. And that is often probably unnecessary. It's probably not the task at hand. You know, if you're like me, you spend an inordinate amount of time in the future and way too much time rehashing the past. There you go. That is identification with the mind. Because what's in that? What's in that? What's in that is our ego, our image management. Generally speaking, when we are obsessed with what's going to be happening in the future or obsessed how things went in the past, it's because we are concerned about self, about ego. How am I coming across? What does this look like? Will I be approved of? What are they thinking of me? Et cetera, et cetera. So right there, I believe is an easy nuance to grab onto right there where you are in your workday, in your life, and saying, am I using my mind constructively, or am I going beyond what is necessary and experiencing a compulsion, an addiction to compulsive thinking, obsessed with the past and obsessed with the future? Now, hold on to that. I want you to be aware of that during the week so that you know what identification with the mind means when the power of now is talking about it, or when other spiritual gurus talk about it, when Deepak Chopra talks about it. The identification with the mind being the biggest obstruction towards our enlightenment, that's what it is. Now, what does it mean to use your mind constructively? Well, first of all, it's important for us to realize that in our conscious evolution, using our mind for survival has just been a part of our evolution. But we are at a place in your conscious evolution, because you're having this conversation, where you no longer need to use your mind for complete survival, right? I mean, we get to use it constructively, thoughtfully, intentionally. The predominance of the mind is no more than a stage in your evolution of consciousness. And it doesn't have to be predominant anymore. It doesn't have to be. Because the experience of enlightenment is actually rising above the compulsive thinking. It's riding above the thought, right? It's not falling back to a level of thought, but finding a way to oscillate between using your mind and the stillness. Now, I know, what does that mean, right? I think of creatives. There is no creative, no writer, no artist, no musician that I know who doesn't do their best work when they are actually of no mind. Right? It happens when you're not in compulsive thinking. It doesn't come from the compulsive thinking side. Matter of fact, I've been writing the songs for the musical, my original musical that I'm working on. And I started thinking about this concept this past week. Started coming to my writing sessions every day after meditation, remaining in the stillness and knowing that the ideas, the impulses, the poetry, the melody are in this one mind that is beyond the egoic compulsive mind. Two minds, the compulsive thinking mind that is the ego, and the one mind, the intelligence that is back of all things. Creatives know about this one mind. There's moments, whether maybe you're expressing a creative side to yourself or something comes out of you, and it's not that you figured it out. It wasn't an egoic use of your mental faculties. It was tapping into something greater, something beyond, an oversoul, a one mind, a consciousness that is back of all that is. Yeah. So I experienced a really interesting thing this week as a writer, staying in that space of oneness, remaining one with the consciousness that was back of all things, rather than this smaller, more constrictive, a little bit pressure to get it done. What's the right word? How does that feel? Is that going to give me the payoff that I need for my future investment? Like, things don't flow when that energy is trying to find the solution creatively, right? So we could learn from our creatives in that there is such a thing as going about your workday. I'm going to apply it to you. There is such a thing as going about your workday and being able to approach and appreciate every task by task, remaining present and not allowing the 10 other compulsive thinking thoughts about the future or the 10 other conversations that happened last week, yesterday, all the past stuff, and be able to do the task in front of you, A, with absolute presence, and B, from a place of stillness where you use the mind for what you needed to and then you oscillate back to stillness. You use the mind for what you needed to. You oscillate back to stillness. You go in. You use it creatively. Stillness. Use it constructively. Stillness. You problem solve. Stillness. You evaluate and come up with solutions for your coworkers. Stillness. Right? That says, yes, we need to use our mind. It is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But when the mind uses us, it's hell. When the mind uses us, we cannot walk into the beingness that is inherent to who we are. We cannot begin this experience of enlightenment when compulsive thinking, when the monkey mind is in the way, when we are enslaved to our mind. So hopefully this helps you kind of know the difference. What is identification with the mind? Well, it's an obsession with the future, it's obsession with the past, and it generally is about image management or an investment in the future that is, I have to get this done for this, but you're not fully present here, right? Using our mind from the one mind allows us to use it more expediently. As a matter of fact, it is definitely a work hack. It is a work smarter, not harder thing. I come up with better ideas, move faster, have more creative output when I am coming from that one mind, that consciousness that is back of all things, and then I move in and use my mind, and I go back to the stillness. Move in and use my mind, go back to the stillness. You know, we want to evolve in consciousness. We are not in survival mode anymore. As human beings, we can begin to understand this consciousness that is back of all things and that beingness that is within us and begin to move and live and breathe and have our being in joy, in calm, in peace, in heaven, in bliss. That is the beingness that is you. That is the beingness that is myself. The mind is essential. It's about knowing how to use it and how to evolve your consciousness to a place where you can use it constructively, moving back into the stillness, and you don't find yourself being in this loop of past and future and problem, solution, conflict, resolve, and the endless hell that becomes the identification with the mind. And hopefully that clears up a little bit what it means to be identified with the mind, because that's what we've talked about for the last 3 or 4 episodes. So I want you to go about your day, like literally, thank you for listening. You and I can go our separate ways today. And I want you to be mindful. How are you using your mind? I want you to ask yourself, okay, I understand what identification with the mind is. I know that it is ego. I know that it is image management. And I know it's obsessed with the future and it's obsessed with the past. And even when it's sometimes I'm doing something now, it's for the future because I don't want it to come back. I want you to begin to just follow through with me on what we've talked about the last 2 or 3 weeks. Become the observer of these thoughts. Become the watcher of these thoughts. Because when you observe these thoughts, when you become the watcher of these thoughts, more and more the gap between you and the consciousness that emerges into the picture, it grows larger and larger. It becomes more predominant the more that you can become the observer of your thoughts. So observing your thoughts, becoming the watcher, watching the thinker. I have one more thing for you though too that might be helpful for you to move out of this identification with the mind, this compulsive thinking, the enslavement to the mind that is keeping us from our enlightenment. And boy, do we have some great things to talk about next week when it comes to emotions, right? But in addition to observing the thoughts, watching the thinker, I want you to also take this approach. If you have a task that you're doing, like for me, it's washing dishes, I literally make this a ritual where when I wash dishes, because I'm the kitchen cleaner, I'm not the cooker, I become fully present, like in my senses, what the water feels like on my hands, the soapy sponge, what it sounds like, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. Use something during the day to be fully, fully, fully present. Being fully present stops the compulsive thinking. So this is why I've always condoned walking meditations. I have this beautiful trail out back that I can walk and just become hyper alive, right? Everything that I see, take it in detail and appreciate it. Every smell in the air, right? Every sound beneath my feet, the way the wind hits my face, all of it. Being fully present is another way to create a space between you and the monkey mind, the identification with the mind. So observing the thoughts, watching the thinker, and being fully present in the now, these are the tools that are gonna help you finally break those chains of like just being enslaved to this incessant thinking. It's not good. Our society is so used to it, but it's holding us back. And I think that's why it's so important to have the conversation, because we've all accepted that that's just life. We've accepted that that's the way it's gonna be. And it's getting in the way of our spiritual evolution. And until we have this conversation and begin to apply ourselves in this conversation, all the wonderful things that are waiting for us down the road, they'll still be there anytime we're ready to say yes. But right now starts the work. Right now starts the simple understanding of what's going on, becoming the observer of it, watching the thinker, fully in the now, really getting into that gap between the thoughts. That is a sacred space where consciousness can emerge, where we can then become more familiar with the inherent beingness, our inherent joy, our inherent love, our inherent peace and bliss. Again, heaven is now, and it is right there where you are. The more that we can live in that space between thought, the more we can live in that sacred space of stillness, of quietness, of calm, of oneness, with all that is, right? That's what we want. That's what we want. Y'all, I'm telling you, this is really, really good stuff that makes an incredible difference. It is the key to to living a day-to-day, even in your workday, that feels like bliss. This is not woo-woo. This is inviting the experience of heaven into your hour-by-hour experience. Not that life is going to be perfect at all times, but if you can accept the moment of what is and be fully present in it, and also be completely amused at the crazy when your mind goes off in compulsive thinking, but you have space around, you're connected to the one mind because you're observing and watching it, you know, greater joy fills your day. There's room for you to experience the bliss that is inherent within you. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself too. That's why I'm doing the work with you, rereading these books, breaking them down, talking about what is truly important for our evolution. And I'm excited. I'm excited for next week because we're going to talk about emotions and we're going to talk about how do we detach from our emotions and stop identifying with our emotions? Because sometimes it's emotion that gets in the way of our consciousness, of our oneness, of our bliss. And there's a way to kind of start navigating that makes total sense. And I want to help it make sense to you as well. So I'll see you next week. Have a really lovely week. I'm here doing the work. Meditate with me. I'm 20 minutes in the morning. I'm 20 minutes at night. If you can even do 10 minutes once a day, it's going to be helpful for you. It's going to help your mind slow down. It's going to help your mental health. It's going to help your physical health. It's going to help your it's going to help your ability to observe the thoughts, watch the thinker, be in the now moment, and not come to the end of your week drained, as drained as you would be. I want you to feel vital. I want you to feel alive. And it really starts with this right here. This is the conversation. This is the money. This is the spiritual money right here. So really soak this up. Listen to this again later on in the week if you want. I want you to be on this journey with me because we are going to do this together, and it just brings such a wonderful difference to the quality of life. So I enjoy you. I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad that you're on this journey with me, and I'll see you next week. Have a great, great, great week. Live with intention. Know that you are loved. Know that you are perfect as you are, right where you are. No judgments. Just ever expansion. And that expansion is happening right here, right now, because you're right here. You're ready. You have the conversation. So let it be. Let it be. It is for our good. And this intelligence has already gone ahead of us, making our way smooth, making our way clean and clear. All right. I gotta go. I have some shows to go do. I'll leave in the morning to go do some shows. So, talk to you next week. Bye.